Dr. Sarah Pienaar is here. She's the former director of the SA Institute for International Affairs, our expert on Russia. And I've missed her. Welcome back, Dr. Sarah Pienaar. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. And how have you been doing?
I've been well. Thank you so much for coming back. Today is a great day for the return of the Russians as they lead the global race against COVID-19 in terms of vaccines.
Well, yes, they're certainly the first to announce that they've got a working vaccine, and more importantly, although it's been developed at great speed, that it has been approved by the medical authorities in Russia. And there's been an absolute race going on, of course, as we're all aware. We've got tests for one of the British vaccines, I gather, running here in South Africa. But the interesting thing is, you look at that sad table, you know, we're still in fifth place in South Africa here in the COVID-19 rates, and the Russians are just above us, although in fact they have twice the number of cases, but then they have more than twice the population. The interesting thing about, what fascinated me more than anything else about this vaccine that they have developed and announced, is that they've called it Sputnik 5. Now, Sputnik, when I was a kid in 1957, this was the year that the Russians sent their first ever satellite into space to orbit the Earth, and it was called Sputnik, which means fellow traveler, or my sort of co-traveler. And it was considered in 1957 to be a huge coup against the West, because the West was not ready technologically to do this, although the Americans, of course, were working on it. And to call this vaccine Sputnik recalls those days to be of the Cold War, and shows how very little, in real terms, the relationship between Russia and the Western world has really changed. They're seeing it as a big national victory. Most Western experts feel that it hasn't been sufficiently tested. They're very worried by the fact that the Russians want to roll out the actual doses in a couple of months, while they're still doing what's called the phase 3 test.
Correct.
You know, there's a general dubiousness, not only actually in the Western world, but Russians, when interviewed, say they wouldn't have the vaccine if it was given to them on a plate. I was watching Vladimir Putin this morning, discussing this very exciting development, and talking about his daughter, who's one of the people apparently on whom
Correct.
The tests were done. And she is now, he has two daughters, and they're both probably now, I reckon, in their late 20s. So they're adult women. And one of them, they haven't said which, was used as a guinea pig. So we don't quite know what the significance of that is. But I was very struck by, I haven't seen Putin much out and about, since COVID hit Russia. And he's looking tired. He's looking unsure. He was reading from some large sheaf of papers. He doesn't look like the man he used to. And that is quite interesting. He's now 68 years old. I think he's taken quite a knock in the last few months.
Interesting. You know, if he had ever mentioned his daughter before, it might have been useful to me that he uses her as some kind of a symbol of, like, I would even put my daughter, but I didn't even knew. So I don't know if I put much back behind that. You and I, the last time we spoke, were speaking about this extension that you had sensed Putin was trying to lock in of his power for a very long time.
Oh, yes.
Of course, it's come through.
Yes, indeed it has. But in fact, it had come through already when we were talking last, because the whole raft of amendments to the Russian Constitution, which dates back to 1993, were passed by the parliament and also by the parliaments of all the 88 regions in Russia back in January, February. So the referendum was only supposed to be a sort of icing on top of the cake. It was supposed to show that the Russian people warmly supported all these amendments. And when they went to vote in the referendum, which was supposed to be held in April, but was only held in June because of COVID, they found they had a vast raft of very feel-good sort of amendments, which, of course, most people wanted to approve. More pensions, an easier life. Banning gay marriage, I'm afraid, was a very popular one. But they had to just vote for the whole raft. You either voted for it or against it. And somewhere hidden in all these sort of very nationalist or rather conservative measures was the fact that Mr. Putin's score should go back to zero, and he should have a chance in 2024, when this term expires, for another two terms, taking us to 2036, by which time he'd be 82. And it's interesting to me that he looks to me like a tired man right now, so we'll see what comes out of that. The result of the referendum, which, as I say, was totally unmonitored. You could vote online. You could vote in little ballot boxes which were stuck around in the fresh air because of the infection rate. Nobody was monitoring it at all. The official results of this, and people also promised prizes if they voted. All sorts of rafts of prizes might come their way. The results were 78% support for this. And as I say, hidden amidst all these other things was the extension of the president's terms of office. And the turnout was about 65%. Interesting enough, several researchers voted twice on purpose, just to see if they could, once online and once on paper. And there is, as the analysts say of these things, no paper chase that can be checked. So the results are very unclear.
I can imagine. So, Dr. Pienaar, this is all the time we have today, but thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to hear your voice, and we'll look out for Sputnik, I think, I hope. But
We may get it, because there are 20 countries have asked for it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're not one.
All right.
So wait and see.
Wait and see, indeed. Dr. Sarah Pienaar, former director of the South African Institute for International Affairs. Always a pleasure to hear her emerging economies perspective on Russia.